Amen. Good morning. Can we just say, let it rain, Lord? Let it rain. Pray that the Holy Spirit would just rain over us today. Refresh us anew in His Word. My name's Pastor Jim. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. And church, it's been a long time. And I miss you. And I'm excited to share God's Word with you this morning. And the title of my message is The New Heart, and we're continuing on in the series In the Red. And today we're going to be really focusing on Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I pray today as we gather today that God would just give us eyes to see. Amen? And we can see Him through the text. And so let's get caught up. I haven't been up here in a while, so I don't know how your summer's going. But a few weeks back, I had the opportunity to go to a Christian concert. I don't get a chance to go to a lot of them, but some dear friends of ours had bought tickets for Sandy and I to go and to go with them, and we had a great time. We went to go hear Matthew West. I don't know if you know Matthew West, but a lot of his writings and his songs are interesting. They're stories about people, and he takes those stories, these redeeming stories, and he creates this beautiful song back to the Lord of praise. And as we were at the concert, there was one song that was particularly speaking to me. And it's one of his oldest songs, and I think the exact title of the songs is The Motions, but it was all about going through the motions. And this particular story was he was passionate about because the story was about him and something he was going through in his life. And the reality that he came to is that God's only given us so much time on this planet. Was he maximizing this time for God? Or was he just going through the motions of life? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Are you going through the motions? Today, you know, so many of us would probably say we find ourselves going through the motions in life. Maybe it's your job. See, you go to work every day, and people would say, wow, that guy's a great employee. And on the surface of things, they say, wow, that guy's a great employee. But in that man's heart or that lady's heart, they're just doing barely what it takes to get by. They're going through the motions, but no one can see that. Maybe it's your marriage. And, you know, as time goes on, whether you're married 1 year or 50 years, And you're just doing the day in and day out. And when you go on Facebook and the social media, you see these pictures, you say, wow, that couple's got it going on. But really inside, they're going through the motions. Silence is entering their home. But no one knows this. Maybe it's your faith journey. The seasons of life. The circumstances of your life, maybe the transitions of your life. People see you come into church and they say, wow, they got it going on. But deep down inside, coming to church, reading their Bible, praying, is becoming a burden to them rather than a wellspring to their soul. But no one can see that. Are we going through the motions of life? You know, what's interesting is Jesus dealt with a lot of people that were going through the motions in their life. You think of the Pharisees and how they were in charge of the temple worship, the order of worship. So, you know, they had the law, but they imposed all these other laws on these people, these outward actions that they wanted people to deal with. And they were more concerned. There was a greater emphasis on the conforming to the will of their laws than the transformation of their hearts to God. And you say to yourself, wow, this burden that they were placing on people. But the emphasis was to show, you know, you want to pick a fight. Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. That's picking a fight, I would say, isn't it? Church, it can happen to us. Let me just give you an example. The church of Ephesus. Paul loved the church of Ephesus. And when you read the letter to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, you'd look at all these good things, how they endured together, how they met together. You'd say, wow, that is one great church, that church in Ephesus. But then he goes on to say this, but this is what I've got against you. You've forgotten your first love. How does that happen, church? Because all that they're doing superficially, couldn't it be that they were just started to go through the motions? That they were meeting together because they had to meet together. They were caring for one another, maybe because they had to care for one another. They were enduring because they had to endure, rather than the heart transformation that God had designed for the church. But I love, because God always gives you the solution. He says, remember where you fell from, and then do what you used to do. Imagine that. When did we let Jesus get off the throne and we get in the throne? So what we do when we come into church, how we look, we put a great emphasis on how we look. By the way, you look really good. Okay, just going to say that. But we put a lot of emphasis on what we see. And then what we see, we create in ourselves some levels of reality. When we could be as a people, just like the church of Ephesus, going through the motions, rather than seeking the heart of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The heart, the pure heart of God. And quite honestly, if we start pursuing our way, we'd look more like a Pharisee than a follower. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about this purified heart, this pure heart that should see God. So if you'd like to stand with me this morning, we're going to read, if it's all possible. I believe God is worthy to stand before him to read his word. We're going to be reading Matthew 5, 1 through 8 today. And then after we read together, if you could remain standing, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get after it, okay? So let's read together. Chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God. We pray in this place, Heavenly Father, and whether they're watching from home, we invite you in here this morning, God. We pray that the Holy Spirit would move and have free course with his word with us today, Heavenly Father. Shape us and mold us, Lord. Show us, Lord God. Touch our heart in a special way this morning, God, that your name, the name that is above all names, would be magnified in this place and glorified in this place. Oh, Heavenly Father, reign. Reign on us this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord God, because you are our King. We worship you, Lord, because you are our Messiah. And Heavenly Father, today we call you friend. So Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And listen, before you sit down, fist bump your neighbor saying, feeling blessed. I haven't been here in a while, so we're going to get it all in one shot. I haven't been here a while, so we're just going to do the whole thing today, all right? You never know. Lord just may call me home tonight. So today, I just want to let you know my approach in the text today. My approach in the text today is going to be this, is we're going to focus on what the Lord is doing. Not what we're doing. Not what we're trying to show what we're doing. But what the Lord is doing. And that's my approach to the text. And there's going to be three things that I'd like to touch upon this morning. One is that the Lord creates in us this new heart. The Lord restores purity to our heart. And the Lord rebuilds a life of purity in us. So we'll look at each one of these in particular. And the first one is the Lord creates in us in a new heart. Have you ever wondered why? You ever ask why you need a new heart? These Beatitudes, as they unpack, unfold one to another, you see a great need for this new heart. In Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the, people would say this is the full counsel of God. Some say it's the, some theologians write and they express that it's the redeeming glory of God. You see the glory of God from beginning to end. But we see that our need, and in chapter 1 of Genesis, you see that God himself created all things in purity, a pure environment. He created the heavens and the earth. He created angels. He created man. He created woman in purity. And it didn't take long to get to chapter 3 where we realized the fall of man and sin came into this world. And as sin came into this world, guess what? We were made unclean. The stain of sin on the human condition occurred in chapter 3. And when we were stained with sin, there was a reason why God needed to purify our heart, give us this new heart. And the Lord himself, this work that only God can do, this redeeming work. But in his creation, there was a longing for us, this spot in your heart and soul for this abiding presence of God. So we've got this picture of creation and the sin and the stain of sin in our lives, and yet God had put in us this place where we've longed for this abiding presence of God as Adam and Eve walked in the purity of the garden. And you know, in this void in our lives, we've tried to fill it many, many ways. I don't know about you. Hey, how's the balcony doing this morning? All right, amen. I forgot about you guys this morning. But I know I've tried to fill it in the other ways. This longing that I have for something that maybe at one time in my life I couldn't even define. I don't know about you. But at the end of the day, it all remained the same. Sin remained. But God knows you. And expressed in Scripture, this relationship between God and his creation is beautiful. The psalmist David writes, and it's this awareness that he had of God even early on. In Psalm 22:10, he writes this. He says, "On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God." What an intimate relationship with God. He knows you. And John 17:24 says that God has loved you from the foundations of the earth. This is, let me just say something here, church. Feel this deep into your heart. This was before you were born. This is during the creation of the heavens and the earth. He loved you. This work that God wants to do in our hearts. And Jesus was concerned about this inner man, inner woman, inner child. Why did he care so deeply about it? A lot of times in Scripture, the heart, the term heart, is used metaphorically about our will, the human will. And this is the center of our will and our desires. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's the center of it. And Jesus was very concerned about it. I love John Piper. I was listening to him this week, and he has this quote, and I thought this was really good for this moment. And it says this: "The heart is what you are, and the secrecy of your thoughts and feelings, when no one else knows but God. And what you are at that invisible root matters as much to God as what you are at the visible branch." I thought that was deep. That it matters so much to God that he cares about our heart. That he longs, that we long for him and he longs for us. That his glory would be made known throughout the world and in you. And you look at Scripture and you see constantly how God just displayed his glory. He displayed his glory to Israel. And if you look at the prophet Ezekiel, it's amazing at Ezekiel 36:24-26 that these were a broken people. They were exiled. They had a broken relationship with God. And God himself, to show his glory to his people and to the world, he writes this: I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries. I'll bring you into your own land. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This was people that were in exile because they were disobedient to God, and yet God was calling them back. Just like he called you back. And as we turn to God, he can display his glory. This is something, I want you to hear this, church. This is a work of God, not a work of us. See, the superficial, we can work hard to make people think we're holy, or we think we can get our heart right, or we think we can change, but God has a greater plan. See, they had to go through ceremonial washing, but no, God says here, I will cleanse you. I will sprinkle you. It is not your work. It is my glory. It is my work, and he's called upon a nation to gather them together, to bring glory to his name, to cleanse them, to give them something they didn't have before, a new heart. He was going to replace that heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh to feel again. In fact, what did he call them? He called them dead bones. And he said out of those dead bones, he would put flesh. That he would give, where there's death, he would give life. So you're feeling dead today. If you're feeling like you're going through the motions, God has a great plan for you that he could raise. He could put flesh on those dead bones. He could take that heart of stone that you have because you've been hurt and you're protecting yourself. And he says, I will take it from you and I'll give you a new heart, a heart of flesh that you could feel again. You could live again. You could love again. And you could bring glory to your heavenly Father because God knows you by name. And he's known you from the foundations of the earth. And he has loved you, despite yourself. Isn't that amazing? Don't we have amazing God that he can create in us something that we can't do for ourselves? I love the prayer that David prays in Psalm 51:10. You know, when you read that and you know about David, you know, David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But listen to his prayer to God, Psalm 51:10. He says this, Lord, create in me. Lord, do something in me I can't do myself. He says, create in me a clean heart. He knew who he was before God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, we've read. When we realize how off we are with God, how we need God, how distant we are from God. He said, blessed is the poor in spirit, because when you come to this place in your life, create in me a clean heart, O God, then we can receive on the other side the mercy that God has for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says, in the Beatitudes. But David cries out to God, says, create in me, Lord, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, I need your help. That's what he's saying. I need your help. I'm not right. And he cries out to God. The Lord's concern is for your heart. A pure heart, the scripture says today. And what does all that mean? Well, the Greek word for all us theologians in the room is katharos. And here's the thought. It's that thought of this precious metal. And I love the verse in scripture because I have a background in precious metals. I love that scripture in that says you're more precious than gold and silver. And for someone who spent years watching a market in the value of gold and silver, I love out of the text when he says we're worth more than that. You got a high market value, a God high market value. I want you to know that. And it talks about this refining process where when they take this metal out of the ground, there's iron ore in it, there's all these things in it, and there's this process of in a furnace and heating where they extract the impurities out of the metal to come up with a pure metal. And he wants us to have a pure heart. So how do you apply that type of technology, let's just say, to your heart and to the text today? This is what how you could apply it. It means a single-mindedness for God. It means an undivided devotion to God. James 4 warns us about being double-minded, where this refining process is this process that we have in our lives that God wants. He wants to purify us by his work, not ours. And God will create in us a new heart, a pure heart, with an undivided devotion towards our Savior, your first love. The second thing is the Lord restores the purity in our heart. How does he do this? How does he restore purity to you and to me? Well, first of all, we know that he has to deal with sin. So when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we're dealing with this sin issue in our life where we need a Savior to save us. We need a Lord to lead us. This is God's divine work of grace. We're actually going to cover actually a lot of doctrine in this verse. This is the doctrine of grace, undeserved grace. This is the doctrine of justification. We're going to talk about sanctification, the doctrine of that. And at the end of this message, that we'll see God, the doctrine of glorification. But we've been justified to a holy God. And in this divine work of God's grace, what he's done for you and for me, he's taken Christ's purity and he's given it to you. He's taken Christ's righteousness and he's given it to you. This great exchange, that a work that only God can do in us. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Isn't this humbling and sorrowful at the same time? The Beatitudes, as we mourn, as we mourn the sin, we realize how off we were with God, and we realize, as God brings now to memory to us, like how off we are, and we start grieving the sin. I don't know about you, but I remember the time. I specifically remember the time that God flooded my mind with how bad I was, that it actually brought me to tears, that I wept. Because of all of what Christ was doing for me, I know I didn't deserve any of it. But this is the work. It's humbling that our God would think that much of us, and yet he would pay such a high price for us. And he's restoring purity into your life. This is the great exchange, God's redeeming plan. Not our plan, his plan. You know, I love that we have this cross in this room. When we look at this cross, if we were in the time of Jesus, they'd probably be saying, "Why the heck do you have that up there?" See, this is a symbol of scorn, of shame. It was meant for criminals. It was really meant for us. See, we were criminals against God. We were away from God, but God has called us back. And that's what this represented. But this same cross, when we look at this cross, for us now, we see our filth. We see our dirt. We see our schemes, our lies. We see our impurity on this cross. That Christ, it says Christ, went to the cross. He was pierced. He was literally pierced for your transgressions. And they said that water and blood flowed. But it's in that same cross, brothers and sisters, that when we look at this cross, the both and, we see forgiveness for our sin. We see a cleansing from our sin. We see the redeeming work of God, redemption. the price he paid for us. We see salvation. Isn't that a beautiful cross? I love that song, The Old Rugged Cross. It's a crown. And as we unpack the Beatitudes, and when we realize how poor in spirit this was intended for you, but Christ, by God's divine grace, the Lamb of God, he sent his mercy into Jesus Christ to go to that cross for you. When we realized ourselves, when we called upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we mourn this, we realize that not only did his mercy flow into us, but the purity of who Jesus Christ is into us. And when we get to this place in our life and we humble ourselves before God, blessed are the meek, we realize that the peace that passes all understanding in Christ comes into our lives. The Beatitudes are a powerful series, amen? And we realize how much God has done for us. His divine grace through God's atoning sacrifice and our faith in him, we are made pure by grace alone, by faith alone, and in Christ alone. See the refining process? Through these impurities, you're not going to go to the fire. Mm-mm-mm. It's not done in a furnace or a fire. It was done there. And he shed his blood so you would be white as snow, pure. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It should humble us all to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, the Lord rebuilds a life of purity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And we deal with this in our lives because if you would ask, if someone would say, are you holy? Are you pure? You'd probably say, I don't know. It's that here and now and the yet to come in that passage. But know something. Today, I want you to know something when you walk out of this room. Listen to me, church. You still may be sinful in your flesh, but you're blameless before the Lord. And we should know this as a people and have confidence in God, in his work. Makes me think of a story I read. And there was this pastor in a small church in the Midwest. And this pastor, what his schedule was like on Sunday, they'd have their service and then a coffee hour after, and then all of a sudden, you know, everybody has left the church. He would lock up the church. And what he used to do is he used to go and visit all the shut-ins in his church. And these shut-ins, one of the gals that he'd go see, her name was Alice. And Alice was up in her 90s. The pastor said Alice radiated Christ. She was a beautiful woman in the Lord. And he always enjoyed to go see Alice. And Alice was one of those gals. She was a King James woman. And Alice, the pastor comes in and sits down. And Alice asks a question. He said, pastor, would you read to me today from my Bible? She wants to hear it from the King James. And the pastor said, sure. So the pastor, she hands the pastor the Bible, and the pastor says, you know, in his mind he's thinking, I'm going to find a passage really just to encourage her, the glory, all the things that God was just doing in her. She radiated this church, her life. And so as he started flipping through the pages of the Bible, he's flipping through, he kind of had this odd looking on his face, and he's looking through the pages, and Alice says to him, pastor, is everything all right? And he goes, Alice, he goes, there's something odd in your Bible. And he goes, as I'm flipping through the pages, I see in the margins of your Bible this big letter P with a circle around it. He goes, what does that mean, Alice? Oh, those passages, they're precious to me. They're my heart. That's God's heart to me. And they're precious to me. He said, that's awesome, Alice. So he's still digging. He was getting to where he wanted to go. in Galatians, he wanted to share with her how she displayed these fruits of the Spirit. So he's still flipping through the pages, and he starts with a smirk on his face now. He sees, Alice says to him, "Pastor, is there something funny in my Bible?" And he says, "Yeah." He goes, "Now I'm seeing in your Bible TP with a circle around it." And he goes, the pastor says to Alice, "That must mean totally precious, right?" She says, "No, Pastor, that does not know what it, that's not what it means. It means tried and proven." Church, the Lord has done something for us that only He could do. He's restored us back to Him. And let it be said of us, God, church, that Scripture becomes our life. That we desire in our hearts, not because we have to, not because we need to look good, but we have this strong desire in our life to live out the calling that Christ has for us. That we wouldn't go through those motions, but rather we would live it out and our family would know it, the world would know it around us, that we just desire it. We don't care what the world says, but we have this strong desire that these scriptures that she read that were actually proven in her life and she could stand as a testimony to God, because not only are they written, they're the breath of God, but they were tried, they were proven, that she held on to His cloak in the most difficult times in her life. That she saw her husband die, her children die, and she's there. And yet she's given praise to God because God has tried and proven. She was refined by the word of God, and what was left was pure between her and God. Isn't that beautiful? Let it be said of us, church. Let it be said of us. And we need to be confident. And this is how confident you can be in the Lord. See, once you were a tomb, now He's made you a tabernacle. Once you were an outcast, now you're the inheritance. You can be confident in this, in God. And how is that? Hebrews 10:20 says this, "By the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh." Church, this is the Holy of Holies. This is that abiding presence of God. It doesn't get any better than this. That by His new and living way, the Scripture teaches us that we can have that longing in our heart, that abiding presence in God, we can have it every day. This is what we long for. I'm going to close with a couple of scriptures, but this one here, particularly because it tells us how to kind of approach all this. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "See what kind of love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." Church, embrace that. Imagine all that God has done for you through this cross. That before the foundations of the world, not on your birthday or your birth date, that He has loved you with an everlasting love. Imagine that He has called you His children. And He wants us to walk in this, to glory in this, because He is worth the glory. It says, "The reason why the world does not know us is that they didn't know Him." Church, if we try to fill this with another way, with the way of the world, church, they didn't even know Him. So how are they going to know you? We could spend all our time filling ourselves with something that's not of God, not of the will of God, because they didn't know Him. But then He goes this, "Beloved," He says to you, "we are God's children now, here and now. You are His child, and what we will be has not yet appeared." Glorification. "But we know when He appears," listen to this, "we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is, and everyone," it says, "who thus hopes in Him purifies himself constantly with His gospel, himself as He is pure." We have promises throughout Scripture. There's more promises than what we can remember in Scripture about how much He loves you, how much He cares for you, how much He gave to you, how much He'll continue to give to you. He'll give you what you need. This is what I know about the Lord. Anything that God demands of you, He'll provide for you. Isn't that good? And as we come together as a church family, it says that we, with pure in heart, says we shall see God. There is a promise for you this morning, that you shall see God. And they are talking, yes, glorification. When He returns, we shall see Him. But it's also implying here that this is continual, abiding presence in God. When we have a pure heart before God, that we'll see Him in our daily lives. That we'll see God move. We'll see Him work in ways that we cannot do ourselves. We'll see Him create things in our life that we could never create. A pure heart. I'm going to leave you with this, and then we'll pray. This is our takeaway, so if you want to write this down for this morning, it's this. When our hearts are purified at salvation, we begin to live in the presence of God. We begin to see and to comprehend Him with our new spiritual eyes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray.